Dear Lord, I thank you again that my heart is full. And Lord, I know that you are so rejoicing over the things that you are seeing us celebrate here today, over the stories we've shared, over the programs that honor you, and over the messages and the lives that are pointing to you more clearly. And I pray, Lord, that you'll be with the interns now, and Lord, that you'll just give them the ability to speak what has already been placed on their heart, and to do that by the power of your Spirit. Amen.
Hey, church. Oh, you know my name. That makes me so happy. I had longer hair a little while ago. I don't anymore. So, the life of the party. That's what we're going to be talking about. Celebration Sunday. How exciting is it? Some of the stuff that's happened this morning. We have so much to be thankful for. Corporately, people being baptized. Eva and Stefan. People being married. People having kids. People soon to be having kids. Ben being renewed as pastor. The evening service. Andrew being brought on. The new chairs. And an awesome sailcloth. There's so much that's happened this year that we have to be thankful for. Personally as well, we each have things that I'm sure that has happened to us in the year that we're thankful for as well. Personally, I made it through my first year of part-time Bible study. Something that may have happened in the life of someone close to you, or a hard-fought lesson that God's managed to teach you. What I've learned is that God cares about the little details. Perhaps that's a story for another time. As we draw into a time of celebration, I have a question for you. What is the greatest cause for celebration? That's that we've been made right with God. Because Jesus died on our behalf, God comes to dwell among us. Because we've accepted what Jesus has done for us, God's Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. When we look at the Old Testament, we read constantly something curious about God's character. From the beginning, God wanted to dwell with his creation. He wants to be in relationship with us. After the fall in Eden, many preparations were made, mainly by God, but also in the heart of man, to allow God the Father to dwell amongst his people. That was the Israelites, his chosen people. We read this all through the Old Testament, especially Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, 1 Kings, testing your knowledge of the order of the books of the Old Testament. Things radically change in the New Testament, though. Because of a new covenant that's made with God, made possible by Jesus, Gentiles are extended into salvation. Those that believe in Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, are invited into his kingdom. It's because of that Spirit that the Lord can dwell within us, especially when two or more are gathered in his name, Matthew 18:20. Now, the life of the party. How many of you believe that heaven is going to be a gloomy place? Forever hold your peace. Heaven is going to be as lively as it gets. Just look at the Bible when we read about the joy of the Lord. John 16:24. Until now, you have not asked anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy will be made complete. Or in Matthew 22:2, where Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven being like a rich wedding banquet that the king put on for his son. When we hear the phrase, the life of the party, we think of a party or a picture of someone telling a brilliant story or a joke or a pun or perhaps showing off a cool magic trick. Even being jubilant and merry are characteristics that all allude to this image, but no, not fully. The true life of the party comes from God's very presence dwelling among us, sharing, celebrating his love for one another through relationship, through serving, blessing one another, through heartfelt worship and praise. Whether you're singing and dancing, sharing a meal, this happens to be a favorite of mine, enjoying a meaningful cup of tea with someone, as we gather in Jesus' name, God dwells with us. He has always desired to be with his creation, not just a part of their joy, but the source, the reason, the origin. And this is made possible only through Jesus and his bridging the gap between us and God. He is the life of the party. We all get to share and partake in this celebration when God dwells with us. Together, we are the life of the party.
Throughout this journey that we go on, called life, there are always points where we need to make a choice. We either go with option A or option B. As Christians, one of the most important decisions that we make in our lives is our first choice to have a relationship with God and to serve and follow him. But it's not a choice that we make once and then that's it, life's sweet. It's a choice that we have to continue to make every single day. From that point, every big decision, every potential life-changing moment, every encounter, every time we come across a situation or a moment where we have to make a decision, do I choose to follow and trust God, or do I do my own thing? In Ephesians 4:22-24, it says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." I grew up in a Christian home, but I would have to say that the real moment that I chose to change, to put off my old self and to be made new, was because I knew that I needed God at the center of my life, wasn't until just a few months ago, earlier this year, before I started coming to this church. It was small choices at first, little decisions that I made to do one thing instead of another. And eventually it became big decisions that I was making in my life. Wake-up calls that made me realize that I need God more than anything. I used to live in a share house in Queanbeyan until one day I got kicked out and I felt like I had nowhere to go, so I went back to church. It had been a very long time since I had gone to church before then. I had completely given up on my relationship with God because I was being affected by the people that I used to live with. And it wasn't that I didn't believe that God was real anymore, but I just felt like this amazing love that Jesus has for us that I grew up my entire life knowing about, you know. I thought that I didn't deserve that because how could I? So I made a choice, a small choice to change how I was living my life and to go back to church. But I kept getting distracted by God. I had so much going on in my life and so many distractions, my heart just wasn't in the right place. I knew I wanted to change, but I was too scared to make that choice fully. And I was too scared to let go of my life that had become too familiar with me. I would go to church on Sundays, and then throughout the week I would live as if I had never moved out of that house. Like it says in Ephesians, in order for us to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, we need to put off our old selves, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. My commitment and my relationship with God never really began to become something so much more and deeper until I realized that I needed to change, to get rid of who I used to be and have a new attitude of my mind and my heart, to be a new self. It wasn't easy. In fact, many times it was so much easier to choose the decisions that were taking me further away from God. I came across many moments where I had to make a choice to choose God or not God. And too often, too many times, I chose not God. Until eventually and recently, I realized that I was so unhappy. And so I started to change my decisions and started to choose God more in situations. And wow, when we open ourselves up to God, choosing him, he goes above and beyond in showering us with his love and his grace. I found a church that I love, this church. I found a job that I love. I became part of the internship. I found a place to live and I formed friendships with people who have helped change my life in amazing ways. And now I'm making another huge choice in my life to get baptized today. But it wasn't something that happened straight away. It began when I made the choice to change and to start walking with God instead of running away from him. And that is a decision that I make every single day in every moment. The choice that, yes, this is what I want for my life. I am choosing to change and to make decisions in my life because I am choosing God. And that's something to celebrate. God rejoices when we choose to follow him and we turn to him. I mean, the parable of the lost sheep says, then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Because every time we choose God or to trust God, he's looking down on us and he's smiling. I can guarantee that. He's probably throwing his fist in the air being like, yes, or doing a little dance of joy. He is celebrating because he loves us and we are choosing him every day. Which means that every day is cause for celebration. Celebration that we choose to follow God. Celebration because of the amazing love of Jesus Christ that he has given to us. How many mornings do you guys wake up and say, despite what might come my way today, I choose to trust and follow God? And how can that not put a smile on your face? Because God is good.
In everything that happens, we have the choice to celebrate with and in God. Having God in my life is what has helped me get through many tough times and to somehow be able to find joy no matter what has happened. Not that I'm perfect. Many times when things go wrong, I get grumpy or angry or fall into despair. I have been like some of the psalmists, crying out to God and asking how long he will allow things to go on or what possible purpose it could serve. I have struggled to see God's purpose in events such as failing my university course, meaning the death of a lifelong dream. I still don't know how God can use the circumstances of growing up with not one but two parents with chronic health issues. I have even at times pleaded with God to either heal my dad or to let him die because I could not see how anything good could come out of the way he was. Yet it's in the hard times that we can celebrate, knowing that God has a purpose for us and our circumstances. It is this thought that has kept me going, that no matter how bad or random events may appear, that God ultimately has a plan for me and for those that I care about. For example, I am here right now in a way because I failed my university course. I was in Wagga for university, then moved to Bathurst after I failed to do a childcare course to get away from the questions about how university was going and to figure out what I was going to do with the rest of my life. When I finished that course in Bathurst, I decided to move to Canberra because there would be too much competition for jobs. My parents were here at the time and I figured I could live with them while I was looking for work. 9 months later, they left, I stayed. I have also been able to celebrate having God with me at all times, especially when it felt like no one else was. I had a few friends at school and was on my own a lot at home as well. But whether things were going well or going badly, I could always talk to God, knowing that he was there for me. I can relate to what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 71, 1-8. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. For you have been my hope, Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From my birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendour all day long. God has always been my rock of refuge in the hard times, and the one I praise in the good times. For it is not only in the hard times that we need to rely on God. When things are going well, it is easy to just sit back and enjoy them, forgetting the God who gave us those blessings in the first place. Our joy should always come from the Lord, who never changes. When things are going well, think about what you believe in God. Is he good? Does he love you? Does he have plans to prosper you and not to harm you, as people are fond of quoting? If it was true when things are going well, then it is still true when they are not. The lyrics from Weep With Me by Wren Collective have helped illustrate what I believe in the good and bad times. Yet I will praise you, yet I will sing of your name. Here in the shadows, I'll lift up an offering of praise. What was true in the light is still true in the dark. You're good and you're kind and you care for this heart. Lord, I believe that you weep with me. While it can feel like God does not care for us when things are hard, God does not change. And if we believe that he loves us, cares for us and wants to bless us, we need to hold on to that, whether things are going well or we feel like the sky is falling on our heads. We can celebrate that God is always in control and is with us through good times and bad. We can celebrate the everyday blessings when life is neither especially good nor bad and is just one day after another. Our constant joy will be one of those things that can witness to others, making them wonder what is different about us and able to celebrate God and life no matter what.
So far we have heard that celebration is keenly focused on the joy of the Lord in us, that sometimes we need to make a choice to change our way of doing things so that we can step into God's celebration, and finally, that we are actually called to celebrate in all kinds of circumstances, good and bad. But do we do these things? Do we celebrate the joy of the Lord in our life? Have we realized that if we are not seeing something in our life worth celebrating, that being God, that we might actually need to make a change in our own lives? Or are we so focused on God's goodness that we know he always reigns in life, no matter the circumstances we face? Here's the thing. Christians are called to be different by God. And that means the way we celebrate and how we celebrate needs to be different too. So let me tell you a story. Now, a few years ago, I was helping run my church's kids ministry. It was great to be able to help kids imagine just how big that God actually is. But there was one area where I really struggled with, and that was worship. Now, the kids ministry I had was in worship as a regular part of what they did. And singing and praising God like that is totally and utterly awesome. But dancing? That's something completely different. You see, I am the ultimate white boy dancer. And that means I'm bad at it. Really bad at it. There is video proof. I have no skills, rhythm, or ability, and way too many wobbly bits. Dancing just doesn't work for me. Now, I could have hidden in the corner of that kids ministry or even left it. But those kids needed to know that Jesus can get them through anything. And for that, I was willing to celebrate with God with everything I had, because I believe God's called me to celebrate with him, even if I feel unworthy, unqualified, and in this particular circumstances, a little bit crazy. So let me share a scripture with you all. Matthew 28, 16 to 20 states, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age.'" Now, this is a scripture that if you've been in church for just a little bit of time, you've probably heard before. It's otherwise known as the Great Commission. But this is about telling people about Jesus. What does this scripture have to do with celebration? Now, in most cases around the world, people either go to a party or are invited to a party. They celebrate at their own places and invite everyone over. Either you are the host or the attendee. But the one thing we all need to remember is that God's way of doing things is different to ours. And God is the host of our party, so that changes things for all of us. Instead of hosting our party or going to a party other Christians run, we are either all invited to or are already attending God's event. We think our host is so incredible that we want to go out and spread the celebration to the ends of the earth. We know that God is so great that the whole world needs to know who and what we are celebrating. And most importantly, that spreading the good news of our God is not actually optional. So we are called to be with the life of the party in living out our faith and telling the whole world about him. But is fear or shame standing in the way of you guys doing this? I know it has for me in the past. But here's the good news. Christianity is not actually about any of you. Shame is based on not believing you are good enough to share the gospel. Fear is based on not knowing God is big enough to help you through all circumstances. Godfidence is not based on how good you are, but on how good God is. And having a godfident faith is not about living with fear or without fear, but in trusting that God is there to help you at all times when things are scary, when things are going well, and otherwise. So I challenge each and every one of you, spread the celebration. Tell the world how good and amazing our wonderful God is. Let me pray for us all. Hey God, you really are the standout, most amazing thing that has ever existed, will exist, or is currently a thing. And I just thank you for this because you are so, so good. I thank you that there are two times in our life where Christianity is about us. The day we become a Christian and the day we get baptized. And I'm so happy that we get to celebrate with some of those people today. And may we be able to celebrate with even more in the future. Lord, I pray that you would give every person here an overwhelming sense of your presence in their life, both today, tomorrow, and throughout all of our lives. And Lord, I ask that you would give us the confidence to continue your celebration and spread it to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.